The unusual suspects have a need, a force that revs down deep and ceaselessly drives them. That need is to throttle up the love for great films and leave mediocrity in the dust. Fasten your seatbelts. Here comes another highly suspect review.
Finally, we get a... Okay, it's a video game movie.
Let me just go ahead and say this right off the bat. Hey, guys, Aaron Paul played Jesse Pinkman.
Thanks a lot. Now we can't make any Breaking Bad jokes.
I've heard, like, every time somebody talks about this movie, like, yeah, I can't wait to see it, bitch! And I'm like, okay, well, that's getting a little old.
Yeah, did you either you guys see it when I did? Because as I sat there, there's so many people in the audience who kept, every time he was on screen, kept whispering, bitch.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So, just so you know, he doesn't say that word even once.
Not even once.
I think one other character says it one time.
Yeah, and not in a sort of like winking at the screen. Sort
no.
Of
well, they had to keep that PG-13 rating. So.
And you know, the only thing in this at all that feels like it connects to Breaking Bad in any way is that, once again, Aaron Paul's actually pretty good in it. Like, he's trying so hard to make you believe that this is a better movie than it is.
Right.
Whereas Dominic Cooper, who comes in here, who is a great actor, has no intentions of doing the same. Playing the villain.
Oh, that's right. You saw it before me, and you were telling me that he was chewing up the scenery. I felt like he was just kind of bland. Like,
no.
He was just kind of like, I'm here. I don't even know what this is about.
You must have misunderstood me then, because yes, okay. I agree with you.
Slumming with just, Mr. Cooper.
He's totally like... Whatever. Let's just get this over like, with.
Anybody see the Devil's Devil? Because I was really awesome in that. I got to act.
I think the word is idling is what he's doing throughout this whole movie.
This adaptation of the Electronic Arts video game series does indeed finally, towards the end, throw in aspects of the video game, which I was surprised to see. At least of the later ones when they had the chase games, because there are ones where you're being chased by the cops.
Right, but I mean, there's the big wreck near the beginning of the movie that is where the car like goes completely up in the air and flips several times. Like that's, I remember the one version of this game. I can't remember which one it was that I played. It was like every time I would hit a car, it would do that. Yeah. You'd just be like, oh, that one's flying again. Oh, it's okay. Like, I guess I'm playing the Jetsons racing game.
Those are some really poorly designed cars that right? flip that easily.
Spoilers are supposed to keep that from happening, but that's fine.
This is a highly suspect review. I am Chris Cox.
I'm Brian Salisbury.
And I'm Martin Thomas.
And we are going to talk about Need for Speed 1, because let's face it.
There's going to be a franchise.
Really? Did you guys see how this fared at the box office?
I don't know. Did it do terrible?
It was number 3.
Oh, was it really?
Debuted at number 3,
because
yes.
they are... Somebody put this together thinking, we don't really care so much about whether or not the Need for Speed franchise of games is helped by this, but damn, there's a lot of money in that Fast and the Furious audience.
Yeah.
We need to tap into
Yeah,
that.
Yeah, and that's what they thought with this. It's like, hey, it ain't got to be great. It's just got to show cars, and we get the Fast and Furious vibe. And as much as you might not, you know, think highly of the IQ of the Fast and the Furious audience, they are smart enough to stay away from this.
Well, that's the thing is that
it got beat by Mr. Peabody and Sherman and 300 again.
Wow.
I can't wait for that segment of Mr. Peabody and Sherman. It's like, let's go back and look at a time when everyone thought they could be Fast and the Furious.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about this movie is I don't even think this is a terrible movie. It's just not that great of a movie.
Right.
I think
it's seen worse.
Actually does its racing sequences, which are extensive, pretty darn well. I was with it more than I wasn't. And like I said, I think that Aaron Paul makes a good lead. And the chemistry he has with Imogen Poots, who plays so the person who's forced to do the ride along with him in the drive across the country sequence of the film. There's a lot of good chemistry.
Actually, you know what? I totally agree with you there. That was the one thing I thought consistently through this. When it's just on the two of them and their chemistry, that works.
Yeah.
And a lot of what they did with the crashes, just you know, the CG or the cinematography, they look pretty good.
Yeah.
Everything else I thought was either weak or just flat out terrible.
Well, the biggest thing that makes the Fast and the Furious films work where this doesn't is that A, they're funny.
Yeah.
And B, they have a lot of camaraderie around these characters. They know that they're totally silly. They're constantly winking at the camera. They're like, look, we know what you're here to see. We're here to give you in spades and make you feel like you're hanging out with your best friends, having a few beers while you're doing it. It does it really well. This one feels like it's constantly fighting to be taken seriously.
Well, I think Jules from Pulp Fiction said it best. Personality goes a long way.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what this movie is entirely devoid of, is personality.
It treats all the secondary characters like tertiary characters.
Yeah.
I mean, they are so underwritten.
I loved his crew. There was not quite Ruffalo. was not quite Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The plot here is that Aaron Paul plays Toby Marshall, who was used to be a race car driver. Now he owns a garage where he and his buddies, they just want to live the small life. They want to tune performance cars, and they're happy with their lot just doing this, occasionally going out and doing street races, that sort of thing. But when Dominic Cooper, who is an old rival, plays an old rival of Toby Marshall, comes into the scene, they can't help it. Blood is in the air. Toby takes an unfortunate challenge and ends up not only losing his best friend in the matter, which is that guy's got meat written on his forehead.
The moment he shows up and opens his mouth, it's like, you are going to die.
You're going to die.
Why don't you right now take out a picture of your girlfriend back home? Yeah. Tell us about how you're retiring at the end of the week.
No, he's like 12. He can't be retired.
Yeah, he looks like Justin Bieber in a red shirt. So yeah. It's like, oh, you're going to die.
It turns to some level like into a certain degree of revenge film. Not really.
Not really.
I mean, when Toby gets out of jail, he wants to qualify for the greatest street race there is, run by I love what they say, a mysterious guy, nobody knows who he is, played by Michael Keaton, that everyone can see on video.
I was like, he broadcasts all over YouTube. How is he mysterious?
I know. I don't get how you get all these international drivers to bring their million-dollar cars in an illegal street race based on a blogger. YouTube guy.
Yeah.
Like just because he says, okay, everybody doing his best Beetlejuice impression to come back and do this. And they all go, yeah, sure, that sounds good.
Toby gets sponsored by the company who we see early on in the film, whose car he streamlines for them to drive the car across the country, which he has to do in 48 hours, to get to the race on time. The whole way.
Vanishing point.
Being hampered by Dominic Cooper's thugs, who he's put out a bounty. Stop them and I'll give you this Lamborghini.
Right. And these guys go like, oh, so legally kill him, right? Murder's okay to collect the bounty. I won't go to jail for that, surely.
Yeah, so he's got the cops chasing him. He's got a bunch of random faceless thugs chasing him.
There's a lot of logic that is thrown right out the passenger side window in this film. Not the least of being which that it's like, I'm sorry, how does the bad guy get away with the shit in the beginning of the film when like 300 people saw them all street racing? Yeah. It's like, I was never there and you have no witnesses. I'm like, I'm pretty sure you can find somebody who saw you there.
It's like, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, the material, really? Come on. The plot doesn't even try to make sense.
No.
Which, like I said, it's hard to criticize in context of Fast and the Furious because their plots don't really make a lot of sense either.
No, the physics don't make sense.
Physics, yeah, true.
I mean, their plots are something you can follow. You go like, that's far-fetched, but I can go with it.
And
that's true. The physics make less sense than the plot.
See, I feel like Aaron Paul is just totally misplaced in this film.
Everybody's in a different movie.
He's trying so hard to give this character some emotional depth, but you're like, why?
This is how he communicates emotional depth.
This movie needs somebody like Vin Diesel, quite frankly.
It does. It needs somebody who's playing it more for the charisma than for the angst.
Yeah.
Because as far as the angst goes, I couldn't even be on his side because he's like, oh, I can't believe my buddy crashed and died. It's like, you guys were racing through traffic the opposite way. Look at all the people you killed or maimed on the way here, and now I'm supposed to feel sorry for you? Fuck you.
Yeah. It's not like you're illegal criminals chasing after $1 million payday. You were just racing for the fuck of it.
Just to be assholes.
It was literally a pissing contest that got the guy killed. What the fuck?
Yeah, it's like, what? You can die doing this? Oh, come on. Nobody told me that.
We're in a video game movie. I thought there was a reset button. No, asshole.
No. I wish there was so they could go back and remake this movie as a good one. But
what?
That seems unlikely.
My favorite logicless moment of this entire movie is when Imogene Poots first walks up and she's like, what is this car? Why does it go so fast? Why is horsepower important? And they were just like, oh, man. And then Aaron Paul, for some reason, is doing this aw shucks acting where he keeps looking away from the camera. Like, and she's like, oh, just because I'm a woman, you think I don't know cars? And it's like, no, because you said you don't know cars is why we think you don't know cars.
You came up selling yourself as a complete idiot. And then you go, oh, it's because of my boobs, isn't it? No. It's because you just said you didn't know
stupid shit
about
you
cars.
Just said.
Trying to have your cake and be Fast and the Furious, too. It doesn't work.
Yeah, it's just such a poor script, ultimately. I mean, I thought they did some somewhat impressive stuff with the effects of the driving and even the filming of the driving. And like I said, the middle sequence actually starts being kind of fun with the whole chase across the country stuff and the relationship between him and Imogen Poots. But it's not fun enough to recommend it.
No. Well, like, yeah, when you're in the cockpit in the driver's seat with the two of them, it's fine. But whenever they're out and they're interacting with the world's worst cops all along the country.
Yeah.
Like, wow, I didn't know all of these major cities only had two police cars.
Yeah, it's pretty much just the cops from, like, Smokey and the Bandit.
I was going to say, I thought they'd be chasing the Blues Brothers by the end of it, but apparently not.
Yeah, that would have been awesome if that would have liked that happened.
And I think you're right about the comedy, too, because there's shit in this movie that I'm like, you really thought this was going to be funny? Like, the whole sequence where the guy, they're, like, getting the band back together, and there's, like, the one guy from the crew quits his job by stripping naked and walking. I'm like what?
That made, like, there was no payoff. It didn't make sense.
It was just, it was just an excuse, I guess, that maybe that he's popular in some circles, that actor. I've seen him in stuff.
Well, he's in stuff all the time. Yeah. He's just a very awkward guy, which I always took, like, oh, well, that's his comedy niche, is that he's very awkward. But now and then I'm seeing him in other things. I'm like, no, he's just a shitty actor.
Is that Ramon, Rodriguez? Is that who that
probably, because he's on that new show Believe. And I was like, oh, yeah, he's like, actually really no good.
Yeah, he's not good. And like I said, the distended scene of him walking naked around, like, why did that happen?
Well, Aaron Paul's in the car outside going, dude, can we fucking hurry this up already?
Yeah, did I mention we're on kind of a time frame here?
Let's go.
And you've got to go wave your little penis around.
It's not called Need for Lollygagging. Let's fucking go here.
No.
And who's the actor who plays the pilot who is able to hijack a news chopper?
Lands the news chopper next to a police chopper as it's taking off, and then just walks and steals another. I'm like, what fucking airport is this?
Kid Cudi.
Oh, God, it's Kid Cudi. Oh, my God, that explains so much.
Yeah, this guy wins whatever the opposite is of an NAACP Image Award.
Oh, my God.
This is the most
Chris
coolest
Brown on
performance
house arrest?
I've seen in forever.
Chris Brown was still on house arrest.
He's saying things that even Will Smith would be like, come on, man, I don't even do that anymore.
Woo! No.
Yeah, there's a lot of that woo going on. Like,
too much.
It's like, seriously, can you please stop now?
I mean, in the end, it's a black man dancing in prison. It's like, yeah, this is where we are now.
This is my guy. I work for that guy. He's my bro. Well, I don't think you want to be saying that right now.
No.
That seems inappropriate.
So bad. Yeah. This movie's so bad. I think about it, the more I'm like, well,
I'm the same way. At first, I was kind of like, eh. But the more I think about it, the more I talk about it, I'm like, I'm starting to actually hate it now.
Yeah. Like, you know, I can't quite go with you, because I watched it and I was like, every time I started to get lost by all the stuff we're mentioning, I thought it would do the racing stuff really well. And I would enjoy the racing scenes and go, that actually looks pretty cool. And I got
just
my
watch
adrenaline
racing videos
going
on YouTube.
Well, yeah, sure. Watch Senna or something.
Yeah.
Or Rush.
But even towards the end, the final race sequence I thought was actually pretty cool. I enjoyed it. I can't hate this movie the same way you guys do, despite the almost complete lack of a script of any kind. Like, they just wrote it on the go. Like, okay, what happens here? Doesn't matter. You're right.
Well,
okay.
Don't get me wrong. I wasn't looking to beat up on it, but it was one of those, like, every time I always came to where you were on it, it wouldn't let me. Like the big race at the end, like, okay, if I can get into the racing, you know, with the first Fast and the Furious, it totally charmed me with how good the racing was. But now we have the cops chasing them, now suddenly we got cops. And
finally,
it's clear to see that, like, man, these cops are actually almost murdering these guys or being a bigger problem than the actual race itself. They could just let it go and then catch everybody at the end, which there's nothing stopping them from doing that. And it's just like, why do you want me to hate you?
You know,
I don't want to hate you.
It's funny. This is actually involved. There's a lot of companies involved with this. Touchdown Pictures, which is a subsidiary of Disney.
Right, right.
DreamWorks, Reliance, Electronic Arts, of course. Disney produced this. It feels like the racing car version of The Lone Ranger in some ways.
Oh, yeah.
That they try to shove so much stuff and all these little plot lines into it, and it goes to places it doesn't need to go to at all. It has big action sequences that at points look good, but it's just not enough.
Right.
You know, and characters that you just are a little questionable when they're in today's world.
Oh, yeah.
Of, like, acting the way that they do.
Yeah, it's not good.
I'm not saying Johnny Depp comes on and does an Indian impression. I'm just saying.
For all we know, Johnny Depp is one of these guys. We, you know.
Yeah, I'm just saying that Kid Cudi comes on and does a black guy impression. So
yes, to the extreme. I mean, if I found out he was actually a white guy, would it actually make me feel better?
It's actually Daniel Day-Lewis as Kid Cudi.
Right?
Wow, yeah. That's impressive.
Right?
Yeah, and even like with Dominic Cooper's character, it's almost like we want to make him the villain. But when you look at his motivations and everything, it's like, well, he's not really the bad guy.
Yeah,
they just don't like him.
Do they ever explain what this old rivalry was?
Nope, they don't.
They're just like, I'm not going to start this locker room fight again.
No, they do it because they're all like, well, he went big time.
So they're just jealous.
Yeah. He's like, oh, what's it like living in the city? Well, Manhattan's not what I thought it would be.
Yeah, well,
but it's still better than this place.
they give you no motivation to really hate the guy
until they
manufacture something, which really feels like, well, you know, I understand the guy didn't want to go to jail in this case, you know.
All Aaron Paul had to do to stop the death was to go, no, I'm cool. I don't really want to race you. We're just going to take off.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all he had to say, and it could have avoided all this shit.
No, but then he goes, what are you, chicken?
Yeah. Nobody calls me chicken, Biff. Nobody.
Seriously, at that moment, I wanted him to stop in the stinger music to go,
oh, speaking of music.
Nobody calls me chicken.
Speaking of music, this has one of the worst soundtracks I've ever heard. It is nothing but shitty-ass covers of great songs, like All Along the Watchtower.
Oh, yeah, that's
and,
true.
And, God, what was the other one that I listened to, and at first I didn't recognize it because it was Fortunate Son by CCR.
Oh, right.
I didn't even recognize it at first, and then it was like, oh, God, they're not, oh, this is horrible. Like, the whole movie is just like, if you go to coffee shops at, like, I don't know, like 11:30, like right before they're about to close, they let like the owner's nephew be up on stage for a little bit, and he's just doing covers of your favorite songs, and they're awful. That's what's happening in the soundtrack.
I don't know what's happening in the last 5-6 years in Hollywood. There's been this trend of big films to say like, oh, we're going to do a ton of covers by bands that we own or whatever and put them out there. I'm like, you know, that just ruins the songs in that context. Yeah. You can take a cover like that organically in the context of a whole album and go, oh, that's pretty cool. But like separating them out like this, going, oh, I love that song. Yeah, you love that other song.
Right.
It just calls attention to how much greater that version is.
True.
And, you know, you look at films that make it work by keeping to the original, like the only good film by, what's his name? Rob Zombie.
Devil's Rejects.
Yeah, Devil's Rejects, which takes a song I had hoped
everybody's sick of Freebird,
and yet takes it, and now after that you're like, God damn, that's a good song. Uh-huh.
Walk out going, Freebird! Again!
Play more Devil's Rejects, dude. Not more Halloween sequels.
Yeah, for shit's sake.
This is just, I don't know, I'm going to go to final thoughts. This is a mediocre attempt by Disney to cash in on an inexplicable phenomenon, admittedly. I'm the first to say, I don't even know why the Fast and Furious movies work as well as they do for me, but they do.
Mm-hmm.
They're fun. They're fun movies, fun, big, dumb movies that all the pieces, it comes up being more than some of its parts.
Sure.
And they do in fact work. This tries to copy that formula and it really more than not doesn't. Despite the best efforts of Aaron Paul, who, like I said, I can't emphasize enough that the poor guy really is trying. He just signed the wrong script. This is not the type of movie to elevate him into an A-list movie actor, clearly, since it's not doing well in theaters. And I'm going to give this 4 out of 10 busted-ass video game adaptation premises.
All right. Well, I think when you look under the hood of this movie, you will find a lot of the same parts from the Fast and Furious franchise. They're just not assembled quite as well, and no. I think that's why the movie doesn't work. It has, you know, it doesn't add any twists to the narrative of Fast and the Furious movies. It just adds turns. So instead of a straight shot, now they're like, you know, they're doing like they're drifting and going sideways, and it's like, okay, well,
doing donuts.
We saw one Tokyo movie in the Fast and the Furious franchise do that, but that was about it. So I guess good on you there. But yeah, again, I just think it's a matter of personality. Like even some of the worst video game adaptations have had at least a modicum of personality. Like let me just put it to you this way: I would rather watch the Street Fighter movie again, then watch Need for Speed again.
Yeah, this might have worked better if they had had Chris Klein in the Aaron Paul role playing this totally ridiculously, laughably over-the-top character.
If they had played it a little bit more, you know, a little less seriously, a little less like they were trying to make a major action film, and you know, when they're ripping off everybody from Fast and Furious to Vanishing Point, it's pretty clear that they shouldn't be kind of, you know, resting on their own laurels, and I felt like that's what they were doing. So I'll have to give this movie 2 out of 10 quarter miles.
Well, Brian took all the automotive puns I can. So I'll just simply say the movie sucked. Something Brian mentioned, touched on, is that there's just no real ambition here. It really is just what do we got to do to get this thing out there to capitalize on the Fast and the Furious? Like, hey, we probably would have ditched it and made it direct to video because that's the kind of script it was. But, oh, wait. Those movies are popular, and we can get Aaron Paul. Is he right for the role? I don't know. I don't care. He's a name right now. Let's pull him in. And a director could have directed this, at least his actors, in a way that got everybody on the same page. Nobody's on the same page. Every character seems to be in a different type of movie, or they think they are. And Aaron Paul thinks he's the serious actor, and Imogen Poots is, you know, playing his female counterpart, and that works, and that's really just about it. And the rest of it was just either mediocre or just not just bad, but just kind of insulting. And that's what gets me, like, kind of angry about it the more I think back to this movie. Yeah, I'm going to give it, out of 10, 3 misfiring pistons.
It's safe to say you guys are tired of these type of films.
Man, I'll let you have that one.
You should have manifolded when you had the chance.
No.
No.